our learners use social media. And to be able to teach them, we have to be able to experience ourselves. With Learning to Go, the way that it's designed is to test the boundaries of what a digital book can do.
It's almost like choose your own adventure, choose to go here and choose to go there, which is just brilliant.
Since I had seen how powerful social media was, I really wanted to test what the possibilities were.
Welcome to the Rethinking Learning podcast series. I'm Barbara Bray, where I have conversations with awesome educators, leaders, and change agents all about their purpose and passion for learning. Hello, everyone. This is Rethinking Learning podcast series, Conversations on Learning. And today, we have a conversation with Shelly Sanchez-Terrell. Sorry, you can tell I'm just so excited. Shelly is an international speaker, adjunct professor, and the author of 3 books. In fact, her newest book is Hacking Digital Learning Strategies, 10 Ways to Launch EdTech Missions in Your Classroom. And I didn't even know about that one, so I'm really excited to learn more. And her most rewarding role is being the mother of a newborn, Savvy, who I just love to death. Oh, my goodness. And Roscoe, the pug. So, you know, Shelly, when I think of someone who lives their passion, I think of you. Please introduce yourself, and can you share a little bit about you and why you're so passionate about digital learning?
Well, I'm just excited to be able to talk to you again. I know we saw each other, just recently, and it was just a great experience to have you hold my daughter and to be able to meet her. So I was super, super excited about that. One of the reasons why I'm so excited about digital learning or passionate about it is because of the access. Now, with the internet and so many digital tools, our students around the world, some that would have never gotten opportunities to learn so many dynamic things from just great people like you. And now if students want to be scientists, if they want to be doctors, if they want to be inventors of things, they can actually just talk to the innovators in those fields. And I just think that's really, really exciting.
Oh, I love that idea, because that's the idea of technology, is you can connect to anyone out there. You know, in fact, I started following you when you started putting up Roscoe. You know, you put him up on Twitter. I can't even remember when you did that, but that was the coolest thing, to follow your cute little dog. You just dressed him up. You made me feel like I was part of your family then. It was so nice. And then, like you mentioned, I'm in love with Savvy. You told the story all the way up when you first got pregnant, and then you put up pictures of the sonograms and you know, and then you introduced her to everyone. All of us already knew her. It was so, and I just love to have a little conversation about Savvy and what happened when you, like what you did, you interviewed, you had Savvy interview me, but how was that for you, bringing your baby there?
Well, I think, you know, and I just wrote about this in my book right now too, that some people might question that, like sharing so much of her, you know, she had a digital footprint even before she was born. But for me, being on social media, I thought it was really important to be able to start her digital footprint early. One reason was because there was no way avoiding that people were going to know that she was, you know, when she came, because I'm always on social media. But the other part is our learners today, their digital footprints start even before they are born. I mean, for most of them, people share different types of stories and anecdotes about them, or announce that they're pregnant like me. And also when they're using social media and they're using, you know, different tools and connecting to the internet, they don't have control of what other people put about them. They don't have necessarily control of, you know, pictures they put up, of what people say. And I think it's really important that she has so much positive stuff out there, that she has her digital footprint starts early, and already she, you know, she's talking to great people like you, but also that she's making people happy with her presence right away, before she has to tackle that, you know, kind of bad negative stuff on social media. So for me, it was really exciting, and I just loved sharing her not only virtually but also face to face with people that I love.
Well, it was such an honor to be one of the first to hold her. And then she was holding a little mic and she kept looking at me. I kept feeling like, oh my gosh, I have such a connection with Savvy. And it happened way before she, like you said, before she was born. Now, I know the value of social media. I find that it's really important for Twitter, for me to be on Twitter, because that's, and on other social media. But why do you feel it's so important for educators to know and use social media?
Well, one reason is because our learners use social media. And I think to be able to teach them and also to know what they're going to go through and what are the skills and what we have to prepare them for, we have to be able to experience ourselves. For many educators, it's scary, which is actually a really good thing, because our scariness, the things that we're frightened about, the things that we see, things that we tackle, such as imbalance, you know, getting addicted to the social media and how to handle that. Things like whether what we're supposed to post and share and make public and what we shouldn't. I mean, all of that really helps us to facilitate the journey of our learners. And also, another great thing about social media is you get to connect to educators around the world that really inspire you. I mean, that's the way we met. And that's the way I've met many, many other teachers that now I've been able to meet in person, and we've presented together, or people that, you know, I've written books with and presented, you know, just created conferences with. I mean, just so many amazing things. And social media was that connection.
Oh, I know what you mean. I love when I got to meet you the first time, I remember. And one of the ways I think I met, before even you started talking about Ross, well, I don't even know when this happened, but when you were one of the founders of EdChat, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, that made a big difference in my life, because I didn't realize you could use Twitter that way. And so I've done PLearn Chat, and I'm part of all other chats. But can you see, I mean, just can you just mention a little bit about how that happened and the impact of it?
Well, actually, Tom Whitby, who I had met on Twitter a couple of times, and, you know, he's a funny guy that wears a lot of Hawaiian shirts and a big mustache. And we always looked to him for wisdom on Twitter. And this was in 2009. And him and I had a connection right away. I asked him to guest blog because he didn't have a blog. And I thought, wow, you know, your voice needs to get out there in other ways than Twitter. But one day he DM'd me, and he asked me, because he used to ask me a lot of tech questions. And he said, you know, I have this idea. I'm always debating with so many educators and I just can't keep up. So how can we make this into a much bigger conversation? And so I suggested the hashtag, you know, and EdChat. And after this conversation, which was a DM, you know, we got it started and stuff, but we wanted some more guidance. And so we asked Stephen Anderson to come on board or kind of organize it for us as well.
Wow. So DM is direct message, for the people who don't know what that is.
Yes.
but that's how I, you know, contacted you, is I always try to go on the back end of Twitter and try to have my own personal conversations that way. And the same thing with Facebook, with messaging. There's all these ways that you can meet, you can connect. You can connect in groups, you can connect, you know, personally. And then you can do it in face-to-face. And so I'm so glad that you did that because it's really, really grown big. I participated in your 30 goals challenge long ago. I really love the way you organized it. And there were so many educators, so many awesome educators that participated in it. And, you know, I wanted to talk about a little bit about that, but then I'm going to come back and ask you about some of the other books that you did because you're so prolific with the writing, and I'm, you know, I'm just trying to keep up with you.
Well, the 30 Goals Challenge started about the same time as EdChat in 2009. When I jumped onto Twitter, which was about that time, I was just so excited and inspired by so many educators that I met. And I wanted to just like share my ideas. And so part of that was the 30 Goals Challenge. And also I wanted, since I had seen how powerful social media and crowdsourcing knowledge was in my life and professionally, I really wanted to test it. I wanted to test, you know, what the possibilities were. So on my blog, even though I had just been blogging for a couple of months, I decided I'm going to try and accomplish, and it started in January, and every January I try to accomplish some goals and state the goals I'm going to accomplish. So I decided and put it on the blog that I was going to do 30 goals. Back then, I was a little crazy, so I decided I was going to do a goal a day. I hadn't really thought about it. And and these were going to be small goals in the classroom or just things related to school. And so they were going to be accomplished, something you could accomplish within a day. And I invited other educators to join me. And so I just came up with 30 goals myself. And since then, over 10,000 teachers have joined this. And it's changed quite a bit because accomplishing so much in 1 month is just overwhelming. So now it's spaced out throughout the year. There's the book, and the book takes some of the initial 30 goals and then some of the other ones that I thought would be the best or most enlightening for teachers. And we have free online conferences now of teachers sharing their experience. We also have a Facebook group, which is free to join. And we just have a lot of ways to support each other.
Well, it's been amazing because I feel honored that I was there kind of in the beginning along with you a little bit, but I just can't believe there's that many teachers now. That's wonderful. I know about that book. I also know about Learning on the Go, that I love the way you put that together. And let's talk about Learning on the Go first. How did you come up with that? And how did you come up with that amazing format? It's a good book, you know?
Well, that's actually kind of funny because I have a really good friend in Oxford. And so I often, he's like second family to me. And so I often stay in his guest house, and he got this new shower, and they say the best ideas come in the shower. And actually so I was trying to think about, because I had just finished running a massive open online course, a free course for teachers about designing digital books. And I kept thinking, because there were so many examples we were looking at, and I was getting frustrated about the way digital books are designed, because a lot of them, even when I took what I was learning online, they were usually PDFs. They weren't very interactive. And now with technology, you can do so much. So with Learning to Go, it's lesson plans and for bring your own technology and mobile learning. But the way that it's designed is to test the boundaries of what a digital book can do. So even offline, it's almost like a website. Instead of having a table of contents, it's a content map, and you touch everything, and everything's around. So another, when you have the lesson plans, then if teacher needs an app, they can touch app, and then they can also go back, and it's very interactive. It makes it easy. It's also designed in a way where it's almost like a mind map. The content map, it's not a table of contents and linear, because I think with a lot of books, even textbooks, and that would be my dream, is actually to be able to, when I get a chance, some more time, I want to create a textbook in the same format where teachers are kind of able to just, they're inspired to not have it linear, but they can go with, you know, and study the way that they think matches best, and learners too. And so that's what Learning to Go was about.
Well, what I love, because just so I can just give them a visual, you have the, it's almost like dots at the bottom of the page that they could click and choose it. It's almost like choose your own adventure, choose to go here and choose to go there, which is just brilliant. Just the idea of having people go where they want to in the book is kind of I think people have thought of this, but they've never designed it like that. So it's just, I was blown away when I saw it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So tell me just a little bit about your new book. And when it's coming out, or is it out? Or
It's coming out in, it should be probably the end of August, maybe the beginning of September. It was going to come out earlier, but the publisher got very excited. So we decided to add many, many more additions to it, many more new materials. So it's really great book. I'm doing it with the Hack Learning Series. And so it's been great because they've allowed me to do a lot with it. But it goes back to kind of the concept with the 30 goals. So the 30 goals are small goals to inspire a teacher to what I call mission-minded learning. So if we're given a goal every day and we can achieve it, then there, or, you know, regularly throughout the teaching, then I think that we accomplish more and we feel as if we achieve something. And that achievement makes us confident to do a lot more. And the same thing with students. So now this one is for students. There are 10 EdTech missions, and each of them has a mission card that teachers can either give digitally, or they can give, you know, through a digital device too, or they can print out. So, and then each one also has a badge that students earn for accomplishing the different missions. And the missions have to do with meaningful ways to use technology, and also the way that students already use technology and they're not being very responsible for, and they don't have a purpose for. And these kind of things are like, for example, being an amateur journalist, which we call digital journalist. And so we see this this problem with fake news. And so that's one of them, you know, how to be responsible as a journalist, what are the ethics involved? And so they actually broadcast their own news. They walk through the steps as if they're an investigative reporter. They have to go do interviews, but they also have to get footage. And I mean, there's just so many things that they do with each mission to be able to learn those roles.
Oh, I can't wait to read this, because I know so many teachers would love this. This is perfect. And I love the Hacking series. So I'm going to say the name of your book again. It's Hacking Digital Learning Strategies, 10 Ways to Launch EdTech Missions in Your Classroom. I know some teachers who are going to beg for that. So I'm so glad. I'm looking at our time, and I look like it that I'm going to have to kind of wrap things up, because I could talk to you for all day long, Shelley. You have so much to offer. I did notice you updated your blog, and I want to make sure I have the right blog that says Teacher Reboot Camp. Is that kind of the right place? Or
yes, that's the right place.
Okay, because your mission statement kind of goes along with what you're doing. It's let's collaborate on strategies for engaging all our students through effective instructional methods and technology. That's a great way to say what you do. It's everything in a nutshell, everything that you're saying and doing and what you've been working on. Anything you want to add before we close? Every time I talk to you, I kind of walk away with a big smile on my face. It's just amazing.
Me too. And it's just been great being able to talk with you again, and just great to have seen you recently as well. So thank you so much for inviting me here, and thank you for the chat.
Oh, thank you so much, Shelley. And I just want to say that this was just a wonderful talk with Shelley Sanchez Terrell, and I'm so grateful for her spending the time today at Rethinking Learning podcast series. What a wonderful conversation on learning. Thank you, Shelley. Thank you for joining our Conversations on Learning podcast series with Shelley Sanchez Terrell. If you would like to learn more about Shelley, visit BarbaraBray.net and check out the complimentary blog post describing the digital learning strategies, her books, and more, especially about Savvy and Roscoe. I hope you subscribe to the Rethinking Learning podcast series and become part of the conversations.